Hi, friends. This is We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
And welcome back to our Conversations with Oscar series, where we will be going through the Best Picture nominees and giving our unfiltered thoughts on each of them. Today, we're discussing The Fabelmans, starring Michelle Williams, Paul Dano, Seth Rogen, Gabrielle LaBelle, and written and directed by Steven Spielberg. It is nominated for seven Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Judd Hirsch, Actress in a Leading Role for Michelle Williams, Best Director Steven Spielberg, Best Original Score John Williams, Production Design for Rick Carter, including Set Decoration for Karen O'Hara, Original Screenplay for Steven Spielberg. This is The Fabelmans. Okay, so what do we think of The Fabelmans? Do we want to be in this family?
It was also written by Tony Kushner.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I forgot. He also wrote West Side Story with him, I think.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct.
And several other. They partnered up on a lot of stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So The Fabelmans. What a lovely family this is.
I went into this thinking of Belfast.
Exactly.
And I was not looking forward to it. And I was like, Belfast was so boring to me and it really fell flat. I was not looking forward to this, but I really enjoyed myself. I thought it was a really good movie.
I think this is what Belfast wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Branagh is just not a good of a director as Steven Spielberg. That's the truth. And even though I love Steven Spielberg, I think this is kind of, I don't want to say mid because that feels wrong, but I don't think it's like extraordinary either. I don't think it's like the best thing I've ever seen. He did a really good job putting his heart on his sleeve, telling his story. But it feels a little bit like every character that Sammy's character, right? Mm-hmm. Sammy interacts with kind of just like is spewing like inspirational posters at him. Very interesting to me. I mean, it's pretty ballsy of him to be like, I've always been great. Look at me. As a movie, it's like a little bit above mid to me. There are some really great moments in it, like when he's making the movie with his Boy Scout troop and just the small detail of like putting a little thing in the sand and like stepping on it and like it looks like a gunshot. So smart. Some really great shots we'll get into later. But overall, I think it was like a bit above mid. So it was good, but it wasn't great.
For me, I think Steven Spielberg has done the work. Like he has given us great film after great film after great film that this moment of self-indulgence, like he's allowed, he's earned it. He's allowed to be a little dreamy, a little whimsical. This film, I think, to me is very dreamy and very whimsical. And I think man's earned it and I'm okay with it. Now, if everything else is like this from here on out, I'll have a problem. But for this one, I'm like, he can get away with it. I'm okay.
Yeah. And I think the question that everybody, at least all the critics kept bringing up was like, would we care as much if it wasn't Steven Spielberg? And yeah. I don't really think so, but who cares? Because it is Steven Spielberg. So I'm going to care about it. You know, it's not even like a question at this point. It's him and he's doing it. And I'm interested. And he did a really great job with it. It was so like, it did such a great job at giving us that like childlike wonder and childlike perspective of everything. One of my favorite scenes is when He's recreating the train crash scene with his dad's set, with the train set. And it's just like making the image shot for shot in his head. And he's just so blown away by what cinema is and what like filmmaking could be. And it's such a pure expression of just like dreaminess and wonder and like just the love of being creative. And especially with him being that age, it was just like everything fell into place. Everything was so cute. And I was like so happy about it.
I like that he used it as a way to conquer his fears, because that train wreck scared him so much that he was like, okay, like even at a young age, like, let me figure this out. How does this work? Like, so smart. Like, I like that it was his fear is what made him into movies, basically. Very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's so interesting that throughout the film, his dad is like wanting him to be more like him and wanting him to, you know, be more interested in what he's doing and want to go into the field he's in, when that's exactly what he is doing. His dad is like building new things and creating things, and he's taking apart these old TVs and radios, and he's repairing them and he's fixing them from the inside out. And that's what Sammy was doing. He was looking at a problem and fixing it from the inside out. He was trying to figure out how it worked and what makes it work and what makes it better. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, he was a really good marriage of, or maybe not marriage is the right word, but he was a really good mix of his parents, because his dad was, you know, the smart tactile one, and his mom was the artist, and she was expressive in that way. And so to show that he was a perfect mix of those two made him who he was.
Also, so much, especially because, and as, you know, if you're the eldest sibling or you had to be the sibling that protected your other siblings, it's very evident in that. Because he was the oldest, that's why he was able to be so much of each of them. You know, kind of like, at least in my experience, what I've seen is that like the person that's most like both of them or most like both parents is usually the eldest one. And then because he's older, he kind of, I mean, obviously he understands like what was happening for the most part with his parents' marriage and their relationship together and all of that. So just really great and really, really great young adult, young child, teenage acting from Gabrielle LaBelle. Like, I would have, I mean, I'll look at the category, but I probably would have thrown him in there just because it was like, it was so good and he did so well. And just like his big, like expressive eyes just said everything.
I think both of the actors who played Sammy were fantastic. I enjoyed the little boy. I think he was so expressive and so, he had such an earnestness about him that I really enjoyed. And then LaBelle, I think, was also fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was this thing that he kept doing with the lighting and the way he was shooting everything. There wasn't anything very natural about the lighting in the whole film. Even when they were outdoors, it was very like it filled all the space, and like there wasn't a lot of like harsh shadows on anybody's faces or anything, and everything was like, especially in the dark or especially when he's like projecting the films, it's very dreamy, it's very like ethereal. And especially that scene where like his mom is dancing in front of the car, it doesn't even look like they're in a campsite, it doesn't even look like they're like in real life, it looks like a dream. Everything is like so
whimsical.
Yes, yes. And it's so like, in his head, it's so like, it's so nostalgic. It's literally like, okay, this is what I remember it looking like. And he made it like that. It wasn't just like, this is exactly what it was, but it was from my perspective, from my eyes, this is my childhood lens on what actually happened. So the lighting was just like perfect.
I don't know. I'm not too familiar with this, but maybe you are, Joy. A couple of reviews that I read about this movie compared it to, it's like a normal Norman Rockwell painting come to life.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's Norman Rockwell. What? Norman, well, that bitch.
Right? It's hard to say.
He was a very popular painter in like the 1950s, like post-war era, when everything was like beautiful and like the nuclear family and, you know, like 2.5 kids and a picket fence and like everyone's, and you know, everyone is thriving. The nuclear family is thriving. Men are going back to work. Women are going back to the home, whatever, whatever. So he painted a lot of portraits of like very well lit, very just like clean, like colorful aesthetic, like kids in a diner, a kid eating ice cream, like a family mowing the yard, someone having a picnic, just super like idealized American, like what America wanted to be in the 50s, like the picture perfect family, the picture perfect white family. That's what it was. That's what Sam Rockwell was. Sam Rockwell? No. The other Rockwell, the painter.
Norman.
Norman Rockwell, thank you. So it was a very reactionary to what was happening in that decade. And I can tell that this kind of goes into that a little bit, but being that he is from a different cultural background, it gives it that bit of interest instead of making it cookie cutter.
I want to talk about Michelle Williams' Rosemary's Baby haircut and also her wild accent.
What? I have notes on Michelle Williams.
The accent I think it's so fun and ridiculous. And the haircut.
You gonna cut your hair like that?
No. It would make me look like a weird inverted mushroom.
Crystal would not want to hang out with you.
My God.
What are your notes on Michelle Williams?
I think her being the best actress is stupid. She's clearly supporting. Whatever.
Mistake.
I feel like she's done this before, and she's almost like doing too much, but also enough, if that makes any sense. I'm not sure how to, like, I feel her in the scenes that, like, a scene that I liked her a lot was when Sammy is showing her the footage from camping, from the, like, the fan cam he made of, like, his mom cheating.
Literally.
And he shows her, and, like, her crawling out of the closet, and just, like, that, all of that was really good. But at times I was just like, I don't know. It's like, her performance was just a little too much, but also, like, it was necessary for the narrative of the movie, if that makes any sense.
I feel like with Michelle Williams, I feel like she's a great actress. I'm not discrediting her. But she's been nominated a handful of times now for good performances. But, like, I don't think she's ever pushed the bar into great.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, like you said, we've seen this before. It's a bit recycled, and it's not bad,
right? Yeah,
but it's not fantastic, and it's a little like if she were winning these Best Actress awards, maybe keep nominating her. But it's like that could have been someone else's spot easily. Yeah.
And going off what you said about it being like, you know, the same thing. That also fits with how I feel about Steven Spielberg. Like, he kind of does the same thing, but he's really good at it. Same with John Williams as a composer. Like, the score is good, but it's the same thing. So it's kind of perfect for the movie in the sense that it's like the same and good, but the same.
Yeah.
I mean, she clearly robbed other actresses of slots in there.
You don't think it was Ana de Armas?
Her too. That was a robbery. That was stone cold robbery, death grip. Like,
and your favorite actress, Andrea Riseborough.
Jesus Christ, fuck off. I can't with the fact that three of the five should not even be in there. Like, this is a disaster of a category this year, and I'm so mad about it still. But anyways, Michelle Williams at the very least should be in supporting actress. Sure, get rid of Jamie Lee Curtis and put her in there. Fine. that would have been appropriate. But
no, side note, though, I love that there's so many great performances by women. But in years past, when we've done this podcast, we're like, oh, the roles for women that year were like bleak. But now there's so many. So like, yay. This is a great
Now it's like a good problem to have, except now people are cheating. So that's a problem. Whatever. Anyways, she's interesting. And I feel like it's very much like, again, an idealized version of what he saw his mother as. So like, that's why she feels, I mean, to me at times she feels a little fake. Just the overdoing it feels a little fake, but I'm like, she was in his head at that time, a character. It wasn't like, it's not like my mother. It's not like, you know, right. Yes, my mom held me. Yes, my mom wiped my tears. Yes, my mom, like, you know, hit me or yelled at me, but it's more of a character. It's like all these little vignettes of what he saw of her in this performance. So I understand it being, to me, a little over the top, a little campy, but it makes sense for what Steven Spielberg's vision is. It makes sense. Yeah. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I appreciate it. Like, and there was moments where I was like, I like this. Like, she's doing good. Like,
interesting, like, you put it in perspective for me, because I was like not really a fan of it, but the fact that you said it was from his point of view, which I should have realized that, but yeah, of course this is how he would see her, how she looks, you know, so beautiful, like dancing in the light of the headlights of the car. Like, yeah, that does make sense. It kind of changes it a little bit for me,
right? Also, sorry, go
like,
ahead.
How dramatic and how like the yeah. top he is, because as a kid you're like, mom, why are you being so dramatic, like calm
right,
down
right
yeah,
the mom's probably just talking to him normally.
But he's like, oh my god, why are you yelling, why are you mom, you're yelling. But that also makes sense for like the other character performances, like his dad was a much more subdued version, and in his head, in contrast to his mother, was the other side of the coin. So that's why he was like so calm and so reserved and so quiet, even though in real life he may not have been to that extent, but in his head that's what it was. And I think that's also why, even though he was mad at his uncle, whatever his name was, Seth Rogen, I can't remember his name.
Benny,
yeah, that's why he couldn't 100% paint him as a villain, maybe because he was looking at it with like nostalgia eyes or whatever. But it's just very interesting how he sees everybody, even towards the end with like the guy who was bullying him. He like, of course he did it through film. He like made him look like a hero. Like, ooh, look at this guy. He's so great and everyone loves him. But like it changed his perspective of things, changes how we see them, to me at least.
Sorry, my brain is dead. I read that in real life, Steven Spielberg's dad kind of took the hit and the blame for the divorce. So his kids didn't even really know that she was the initial reason of their split. And at first, and I think I said this on the podcast before, but when I see storylines of like infidelity in marriage, it always like I just get like defensive immediately. And so I was like, I don't care about her. And then I was like, oh, I looked at it at a different lens, like, oh, she's in love with Benny. She's not in love with Paul Dano anymore. And this is a time where like, it wasn't as easy for women to get out of marriages. So I was like, oh, so this kind of like, her behavior kind of made more sense. Cause I was like, Paul Dano's been nothing but encouraging to everyone. What is her deal? Oh, she's in love with Benny. That's what, and she doesn't know how to deal with that. Okay, so that makes it more a little sympathetic to me. And I read that Steven Spielberg had seen Michelle Williams and Paul Dano and other things and said, those are my parents. And Michelle Williams, I get, because it's the same stuff. But Paul Dano, like, what has he done that's been, like, this calm and serene before? Because I don't know what it is.
I know. I purposely don't watch it he's in because he's so creepy.
Oh, that's right. How do you feel about Paul Dano now?
He's great. All he had to do was play a stupid loving dad. And now I'm like, fine, whatever. I'll believe it. You're a good enough actor.
Paul Dano. We've talked about it a couple last episode with Everything Everywhere. But I loved him in Swiss Army Man. I loved him in this rom-com called Ruby Sparks.
I heard that was great.
With his now wife, Zoe Kazan. I believe she wrote it. Such an interesting concept, and it's so good. I haven't watched that in forever. I need to rewatch it. And of course, Little Miss Sunshine. I just think he's one of those quality actors. Like, he, anything he's given, he kind of hits it out of the park. I haven't seen a bad performance from him. I'm a little bummed that he was left out of the best actor category. I mean, it's a stacked category, but I wouldn't have minded to see him there.
I know his snub is supposed to technically be for this movie, but I think he did a really good job in The Batman as well. There's an interrogation scene that is phenomenal. And I know, like, the Academy's just, like, slowly getting into, like, comic movies, but that movie was great. He was great in it. So, I'm just saying.
I still need to watch. Is it on HBO Max now?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Maybe.
I think it's still on HBO Max.
Okay. I'll get to it later.
He's very good in that movie.
What was I going to say? I don't know. I can't remember.
I read a little piece of trivia that the real bully that the bully at the end of the film is based on went on to be a police officer.
Makes sense.
And it was after one of Spielberg's, like, I think it was a made for TV movie. He had called him up and was like, "Congratulations, man, the movie's great. Like, you're doing what you always wanted to." And he was like, "So what are you doing now?" He's like, "Well, I'm a police officer." And I was like, that makes so much fucking sense.
Jesus, of course it does.
Where can you bully people as an adult? As a police officer.
Literally. For men, for cis men, it's police officer. For women, it's a nurse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Blue, blue. I don't, like, okay, so not the mean one, the nice bully, I guess.
The less mean one.
Was Sammy, like, in love with him or something? Because that movie was, like, it should have had, like, little, like, floating hearts on it or something. I was just like, Sammy, are you, I mean, okay. And then they don't explore it, obviously, but, like, I was like, this movie's about to end. Like, I mean, what's happening here?
Look, I thought that scene at the end after he shows the movie and they're in the hallway, I thought that was well done. It did feel a little out of left field. Like, it felt like it didn't belong in this movie. Mm-hmm. It felt very disjointed. Well done, well acted, but it just felt very out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely had, I guess he's trying to play it off as like, I just, you know, I made the best movie I could, and that meant like showing you. But then he purposefully, while they were at the beach, like, he purposefully went out of his way to film him. And that, like, yeah, it made no sense to me why it was this, like, love letter to this bully.
And, like, we are not, well, at least Anna and I are not, ones who, like, see, I don't see, like, things like that very easily. So when it's evident to me, I'm like, oh, this is very blatant. Everyone has this. Clear,
right? I was wondering if you guys were going to get it because it was, like, so heavy-handed. Or I was, I, like,
know, my notes, it just says gay? Question mark.
Because literally when that scene was happening, I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Do I love Steven Spielberg more? Like, I don't, like, did he do this for us? Like, what? I don't know. It was, I was like, okay, you're, you know, getting it out of your system, what you felt, you know, as a teenager, good for you. You know, you understand that you came to terms with it. Love it. Great. Good for you. But also, yeah, it went into, like, after school teen special area for that. But I was like, this is a really cute after school teen special.
Oh my God.
But speaking on that disjointed scene, there were times where I felt like it was a bit long and a bit slow, and it could have done with some cuts.
This movie, was this one of the, how long, hold on, let me find out how long it was. I can't remember.
It was
over 2 hours.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I adore Seth Rogen. I think he's great.
He's cute in this.
I adore him.
It was 2.5 hours.
Okay, yeah, that's one of the things. I'm like, whenever anything hits over 2 hours, I'm gonna harshly judge it on whether it was worth it or not, because time is precious and I could be watching other movies. So
that seems to be the norm now. Like 2+ hours to 3 hours is like the norm for movies.
Yeah, because like the majority of ones we've seen are 2+.
And if I'm enjoying myself, I don't mind it. But
right.
Your bladder doesn't though. Your bladder doesn't enjoy it though.
Unless she's watching it at home.
My bladder and I have a lot of issues. She says that she drinks more water.
Literally like a gallon of water. Wow.
Trying to think what other notes I have. Oh, she said she paid $1.50 at the beauty parlor for her like nails. Ugh.
I wish. I'm doing it at my home.
I wrote, I miss family camping trips. Used to go on camping trips a lot as a kid and I loved them. And I've not been in 1,000 years. So I was just saying I miss them.
One of them. Was a success from what I remember. I was pretty young. But we went all out. We got all of the gear. And then the second time we tried to go, it rained on us. And it was going to rain all weekend. And the place was flooded. So they closed down the camping grounds. And so my dad was like, well, we're halfway to the valley. So let's just go see our family.
That's perfect. I never did family camping trips. We weren't a camping kind of family, I guess. Also, I just know that would be a disaster. Like, that would not, we are not the most coordinated, organized. We're going to be dead in the woods. That's what we're having. We'll be without water, without food somehow. Somehow we'll lose it or fall off the car. Like, someone will forget to bring the tent. Yeah, just, no. I'll just go stay at a hotel. I'm not an outdoorsy person like that.
But the coordination of the hotels, you got to pay for it. You got to book it. You got all
I'll
this.
I'll do that. I've done that. I can do it.
You can book a cabin in the woods, like that movie.
I'm not about to get murdered. No, thank you.
You can get murdered anywhere.
True, but the percentage rises when I'm alone in the woods.
Not necessarily.
Or on the subway. Or on the street.
Alone in the subway, yes. Alone.
Or just alone in general.
Just alone in general, yeah.
No, my mom is very organized, as you know. So, like, our camping trips were...
I bet they were great.
Yeah, they were great. We would have the tent and then, like, the blow-up mattress in the tent. My mom would bring the cast iron and cook whatever. S'mores were fun. Hiking. Yeah, those good times.
Oh, my God. You're so outdoorsy. I love that.
I mean, I haven't been in a long time. I mean, last time we went on a hike, we almost died. Check out that episode. Listen to it.
You know,
it was like 30 Rock or something.
Was it 30 Rock?
I don't remember.
Queen of Bitch Mountain.
I'll find out and I'll link it.
It might have been 30 Rock.
I'll find out and link it.
You know what you should do? You should take Charlie on a camping trip.
You should just say she might hate that, actually. I don't know.
Is that an outdoorsy girl either?
I don't think she knows. Like, she's a tomboy in the sense that, like, she plays outside, but, like, that's not the same as camping.
No.
We'll figure it out.
It's 30 Rock.
30 Rock, yeah, that's what I figured. I want to talk about some shots in this movie.
Let's go. Shots.
Yeah, I know we're not going through categories, but we're going to talk about it anyway. First off, I love, my favorite shot of the entire movie is when Sammy is editing the footage from the camping trip and he's realizing what's happening. And it's just like spinning around. Oh my God. I was like, well, I wanted to clap. It was that good. Fantastic. Or in the very beginning when the camera follows the train, it's a close-up on young Sammy. Ugh.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
There's a shot of Michelle Williams of her reflection off the piano. Mm-hmm. Dead. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Do I have any more? Sorry, my notes are not very organized. I'm not very organized. I think another thing, too, I just liked about watching those scenes of him making those movies with his Boy Scouts is I just love to watch how movies are made. That's so interesting to me. And it reminds me when I used to be an extra. When I was an extra, I would kind of just like wait afterwards and just like watch what was going on because it was so interesting. Like, especially that scene where they're he's shooting the war movie, and the guys are they shoot them like laying down on the ground, and then they run behind the camera and then lay down again. That's what we did when we shot. I was an extra in a football movie, and so we had to like cheer in one section and then move to the next session and then cheer again. So they would like double us up as the audience. Watching how movies are made is so interesting. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, Crystal and I were just talking about how much we like and respect Foley artists.
Yes.
Bowling artists?
Foley. The sound people.
Oh, okay. I was like, bowling? What the hell?
Yeah, bowling.
Mm-hmm. Bowling is an art.
So I've heard.
I didn't.
Kind of art, but sure.
I didn't get to take. I had to do my notes after I saw the movie because I had to see this in theaters. And it was a surprisingly full theater.
Really?
Same. Mine was too. There was like not that many seats empty.
Yeah, it was a smaller theater, but I was up at the top, and I was in the middle, and there was a couple towards one end and another person towards the other end. So I didn't feel comfortable pulling out my phone and being on it. So I couldn't take notes until I got home, and then I was like, I don't remember shots. But I did read the IMDb trivia, and I do like that Spiel out of Spielberg and Fable are synonyms for story.
Oh, that's cute.
I think that's adorable.
Aww, that's too cute.
I'm a sucker for the cheese.
I know. Not the real cheese, just the narrative cheese.
Yeah, real cheese I'm not a fan of, but fake
narrative cheese, yeah.
Narrative cheese.
Narrative cheese, yeah. Narrative corn, narrative cheese. Oh my god, you should have like a band name and call it Narrative Cheese. It's a great band name. Back to what I was saying about Michelle Williams, how I eventually sympathized with her character about wanting to get out of this marriage because she was in love with Benny, all this stuff. Whenever I was starting to like feel uncomfortable when she when Sammy discovers what's happening and he says, I won't tell. And then he becomes her confidant, and it's like their little secret. And it just made me so like, I know it's hard because she didn't really have any friends, and you know, women at that time really just were mothers, and that's it. That's all they were allowed to be. But I was just like, oh, he's a child. You shouldn't. This isn't wrong. This is wrong. I don't like it. So I was just, that made me very uncomfortable.
But I did. I loved that he was so mad at her, and he was, you know, outwardly angry with her and yelling at her. And then as soon as it became known, as soon as she knew why, he was immediately like, oh, she's a real person. Like,
yeah,
immediately saw like, oh, this isn't just something flippant like that happened. It was like, this is a real thing. And she's a real person with real emotions. Like, I won't tell. The loss of his childhood moment. It's not okay.
No. Although, and another thing too, like later on, whenever, I forgot what Sammy's doing, but the only like conversation he ever has with any of his sisters, who's Julia Butters, who was in Once Upon a Time, the only good thing about that movie. She says like, when she's talking about their mom and Benny, that like, she laughs at Benny's jokes, but dad is her audience. And I thought that was really well put. Very insightful for a child.
I really did feel like she loved both of those men.
Yeah.
But that Seth Rogen's Benny, like, he let her be herself a little bit more.
She wasn't in love with Paul Dano anymore.
No, but she loved him.
Yeah, she just wasn't in love with him.
Right. I felt that from her character, that she loved both of these men. In very different ways and for different reasons. But that Benny was just, she was just in love with him. Yeah.
And that happens, like, you know, you fall in love with somebody and people evolve, people change, and you become someone slightly different. And maybe what's Paul Dano's character? I call him Daddy Fableman. I don't even know his name. Daddy Fableman, like, he kind of stayed the same person while Michelle Williams needed an outlet for her artistry. She needed it. Bert. Oh, I didn't even remember that. She needed an outlet for who she was, and Benny was giving her that, you know. And it wasn't that Burt Wooden is just, he's just focused on other things, and it's just it sucks, but you know, I it just sucks.
I think a big part of it too with Burt is that he's so smart,
yeah,
and such an intellectual, and he's used to kind of being the main character at work and at home, and he is like the guy, and she needed someone who was not the guy.
It was really interesting to me watching it, because it reminded me a lot of what's her name, Betty Draper in Mad Men. She had trouble making friends. She was only, her role was mom and wife, and she didn't really have anything outside of that, same way as what's her name, Michelle Williams. But Michelle Williams at least had her, you know, her art, her outlet and stuff. But they're also like of a time, again, no excuses, you shouldn't put this shit on your kids, but they're also of a time where like they were expected to just be like wives and just like a statue and just like a little trophy, and like you're there and you look cute and you take care of your kids and you make dinner when your husband comes home, and that's all there is. And they weren't allowed, and they definitely weren't taught how to like become mature, functional adults. So especially the fact that like she's so closely relating with her son, is she has not matured. She probably is still has at the maturity level of like a teenager, because like she wants something that's just like much more, I don't know, something less stable, something more like emotional, something more creative than like what she has. And especially because she has this talent and she doesn't have as many ways to express it. Like she had that one show or that one recording that she was going to do, but it wasn't her career. She wasn't doing it constantly. So like it feels stifled. And to like a person who hasn't emotionally matured, like it's gonna reflect and it's gonna come out in other ways. So, you know, unfortunately for them, they're kind of stuck in dealing with the repercussions and the consequences of their era.
Yeah.
So, The Fablemans to me is in the same kind of vein as, like we said, Belfast earlier, Roma even, or Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. Of those, rank them right now. Go.
Oh, shit.
Lady Bird, okay, Roma.
Belfast is the end.
Fablemans, Belfast.
I would go, yeah, mine's pretty much the same, except I put Roma first. Because I was thinking about it, like with Roma to me, I think it benefited from the fact that it wasn't like Alfonso Cuarón, just someone in his life. Or I guess Lady Bird really wasn't a biopic either, but it was about something specific to Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, they're more like biopic adjacent versus like direct biopics, yeah.
Belfast at the bottom, basically.
Belfast at the bottom. Fablemans is number three. And depending on the day, it's Roma or Lady Bird on the top. Today, I'll go with Roma.
Technicality-wise? Like, technical-wise, Roma.
Roma.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That's
but shocking. Narratively, for me, Lady Bird.
I think the way Lady Bird made me feel...
Yeah.
...would probably top it over Roma just for that reason. But, like, yeah, technical... Oh, that was... It was art.
Yeah. Roma was art. No, I mean, question. even with Roma, like, her story was still so, like, emotional. It was a roller coaster of emotions, and she wasn't really allowed to express her roller coaster of emotions outside of herself. So even that in itself, so good. Yeah. So good. Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Do we want to go through the categories?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
Joy?
Actor in a supporting role for Judd Hirsch. What?
Well, let's do Best Picture first.
Oh, okay. Best Picture. Okay.
Do you think you should be here?
Sure. Yes. I love Steven Spielberg. Could it have made room for other things? Yes. Also, yes. But do I hate being here? No. Huh?
It wouldn't be the first one I kick out.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. No. I'd kick out like three more besides from
hard cosign. Yeah, agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actor in a supporting role for Judd Hirsch. Again, what the fuck?
I really hate that scene because he's basically saying, choose art, not your family. And I don't like that at all. First of all, what? No. And then, like, yeah, he does a good job, but it's not enough. And, like, I think this is a case of, like, people really liking Judd Hirsch as a person, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
I forgot. This is a, what did he say? Bong Joon-ho, this is very, like, a local fair. That's a word. You know what? And this is evident of it right there.
For real, for real. Because, like, of all the people in this movie, of all the actors in a supporting role you could have nominated, you had Paul Dano and, what's his name right there?
Yeah. No, Paul Dano over Judd Hirsch. Come on now.
Seriously. Come on now.
Yeah. I think Judd Hirsch did a great job with what he was given.
Yeah.
He comes in there and he shakes it up and it's a memorable moment, but Paul Dano, man.
Yeah, but you didn't need one memorable moment, amazing. But like a whole Oscar for this? No. Actress in a leading role. We've already talked about this, but any more notes?
I mean, we already said it.
No, get out of here.
Yeah, what the hell? Viola Davis should be, well, a lot more people should be here, but.
A lot of people should be
here. Viola's one of them.
Yeah.
What else? A director, best director. Up against Martin McDonagh, the Daniels, Todd Field, and Ruben Östlund with two dots for the O.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's so good. Steven Spielberg is great. And because it's about movie making, Hollywood loves itself. It's going to get in there, you know. I just hate that him being there had to mean that, like, Jordan Peele couldn't get in, or Gina Prince Blythewood,
mm-hmm.
Or any women in general, really.
Yeah. When they did just as good, if not a better job than some of the ones in this category.
I still haven't seen Triangle of Sadness, but this is a hard category because I like the other four a lot and I want them to be here, but I also want others to be here. I really want some women in there.
Yeah. There's not a bad one in the bunch, really. I don't think.
No.
It's not a bad problem to have. And I think, did we talk about this in the other podcast about expanding the category to make 10 instead of 5?
We vaguely touched on it, yeah.
Okay. I feel like this is one of those years where that would make sense. 10 directors, since there's 10 best pictures. 10 directors. Why not? I mean, only one of them is going to win anyway, so.
Or seven.
Yeah, me in the middle. 7. That's good. That's solid.
I mean, who else would you add? Do you have an idea? You can think about that and get to me next podcast.
Charlotte calls for After Sun, for sure.
Okay.
And probably, his name.
The two that I mentioned, Jordan Peele.
Yes.
Jordan Peele or, hold on, I have his name right here. Park Chan-wook for Decision to Leave.
Oh, I still need to see that.
The fact that Decision to Leave was left out of all of this pisses me off. But
yeah, because Decision to Leave was talked about like the whole year or the whole awards time.
So, yeah. Those,
looking forward
those
to
three.
That.
Oh, sure.
Music, original score, Cristal.
Similar to what I said earlier. It's really hard to say that it's mid because John Williams gave us such, like, Jurassic Park, Star Wars, like, he's given so much to movies that it's kind of hard to say, like, this was boring, but it's literally the same. And I just think, like, if you compare it to the character of Everything Everywhere or the whimsicalness of Banshees, mm-hmm. Or even, like, I guess we'll talk about Tar later, but it just feels so basic. And I think I said this, we talked about another movie that he scored, I don't remember, and I said basically the same thing, like, he's just very basic.
Well, and he, you know, he retired, and I think he knew, like, he was done, he's given everything he can, but then Steven Spielberg was like, can you please, and he's like, okay.
All right.
Yeah, he didn't bring anything to it new or, like, to take away from me either. He just, like, he, I'm not, like, again, he's, like, a legend, he's done so many great things. that movies will think of forever. But, you know, if he didn't do it anymore and just wanted to retire, he's in his 90s.
He's in his 90s?
Yeah, just go to bed, John. You know,
that because he's such a longtime collaborator of Steven Spielberg, it would have felt weird to have anybody else do it.
In this particular sense, I would agree, since it's so much about who he was or who he is.
Right. So I appreciate it on that level, but does it deserve to be here?
No, because he got nominated for like a Star Wars, like Skywalker, Rise of Skywalker, and I was like, really? No, it's done. It's enough.
Especially at that point, that score is so recycled.
Right. Exactly. He just copied paste the whole thing. Sorry, John. Or actually, not sorry, but copy paste. Like, I mean.
Okay.
Respect her.
Production design. It's up against All Quiet, Avatar, Babylon, and Elvis.
I don't know that I noticed the production that design that much, to be honest with you.
But sometimes it's a good thing. It's like so seamless that it's not like, ooh, look at this. But I don't, of all of these, I wouldn't put it as my number one. But yeah. I appreciate like, I'm certain, I didn't look it up, I forgot about it, but I'm almost certain that he got the actual cameras of that time, and that's what he was using for his shots. I'm pretty sure he did.
I mean, I'd still replace it with Everything Everywhere, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Whatever, I guess.
Yeah. Again, it wouldn't be the first I kick off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's saying something.
It's not the first choice, but not the last choice at the same time. You know?
Yeah, it's a little.
It's, I don't know, mid.
You're so trendy with your words. I love it. Writing original screenplay. Up against Banshees, Everything, Tar, and Triangle.
I would have liked to. Well, I haven't seen Triangle yet, but. I would have put Nope here instead, or The Woman
King. Yes!
Nope or The Woman King, because The Fablemans is great, it's fine, but it's really, again, fine.
I feel like a broken record, but for me it would have been Nope, After Sun, or Decision to Leave.
If we ran the Oscars.
What a glorious night it would be.
It would be the thirstiest telecast of all time.
Yes, it would. I'm going to get, we're going to get Oscar Isaac to host. Oscar Isaac and Pedro Pascal can host.
That would be wild.
Well, honestly, let's just have rotating hosts. And every presenter is going to be someone else on our thirsty list.
I wonder the, like, I guess the not popular opinion that we don't really need a host.
Yeah, so every presenter can just be someone on our thirsty list plus one of the three of us.
No. I'll be a puddle on backstage.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Look, I believe you can hold. I believe you can hold your own next to Dev Patel. I really do. I believe that's how romance will happen.
How else are we gonna get together, Anna? You have to.
Give literally,
my dreams.
Get a woman up.
My dreams are really great.
I would like to be walked in with Oscar on one side, Pedro on the other side. Please.
Definitely on this side, John Cho on this side.
Oh god, now I have to pick two. I don't know. Too many decisions. My brain just like short circuited. There's too many in my head right now.
Sebastian on one side, and then you can borrow Pedro on the other side.
It'll be Sebastian, Crystal, Pedro, Joy. Oscar Isaac.
Yes! Yes!
Listen.
I'll be next to Oscar Isaac with, oh no, because I want both my men. So I'll have, and then I'll come out separately with Dev Patel and John Cho.
Girl, I will happily be in a line with Dev Patel. No problem.
Same.
Also, John Cho.
We need to look at our boyfriend bracket. Who won our, Riz Ahmed? I want Riz Ahmed.
I think mine was Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, and mine was Oscar, so. Let's redo those. I wonder what.
So okay, then Sebastian Stan and Riz Ahmed. Okay, there you go.
There you go. That's a good. That's
tough
a
decisions.
Good. Wow. That's you know what? Let's host the Oscars. Why hasn't anyone asked us? Oh, and then I want to come out for another award, and I would like Charlize Theron on one side, and maybe Catherine Zeta-Jones on the other side.
Love it. What about Elizabeth Debicki?
Shit. Oh, my God. Hold on. I got to go find the highest heels I can find.
We have at such peace, Crystal. Christ. All right. Before we deep dive too far, let's do some rankings. Joy, you want to go first?
Oh, yes. I have it right here. I guess not. There it is. Okay. Okay, on the bottom, we'll start with Avatar.
Shocking.
I refuse to be impressed by this. I just can't. I didn't watch All Quiet, but it goes next one. And then there's Elvis. Then I'm going to go with The Fablemans, Banshees, and Everything. Next.
Me? Sure.
You can go.
Okay, my list is very similar. The only difference is that I have All Quiet above Elvis. So it's Avatar, Elvis, All Quiet on the Western Front, The Fablemans, The Banshees of Inisherin, and Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Nice.
Me too. Avatar is at the bottom. Elvis, All Quiet, The Fablemans, The Banshees, and Everything Everywhere.
Wow. The Banshees of Everything?
Yeah, The Banshees of Everything.
I mean, if it's everything, there's going to be Banshees there, so.
This is correct. These are the facts. So yeah, that was
The Fablemans.
Fablemans. I forgot what we talked about already.
The Spielbergs.
Ay.
What a wacky bunch.
We'll be back.
I just thought about something before we end. So whenever Sammy's talking to his crush, the bully, he's like, I'm not going to make a movie about this anyway. And I'm like, I'm watching a movie about this exact thing, but all right. Anyways.
Yeah, kind of lied to him.
Literally.
But he's a policeman, so.
Yeah. No, the one he had a crush on, not the mean one.
Yeah, the one he had a crush on is the one that became a policeman.
Oh, I thought it was the mean one. The even meaner one. Oh. Dodge the bullet, Sammy. Good job.
All right, folks. We'll be back to talk about the rest of the nominees.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.